What's up, everybody? Welcome to Save Continue Podcast, episode 452. What episode is it, Ryan?
I think we're coming up on 300, but I don't.
300.
I don't think this is 300. I think the next one might be.
Okay. Well, we should plan something for that. Shanae's not here. She's got the COVID. Everyone's getting the COVID.
Yeah.
You know.
You gotta everybody. Mask up.
Yeah.
You gotta stay.
I thought it was settled down. You know, but everybody's. Popping off with the COVID
Bro, people are still getting all kinds of COVIDs. They got Unicron, they got Maximum, they got the big ones, man.
So, yeah, but she's feeling all right. She's doing all right.
Well enough to send me disgusting text messages anyway.
Yeah. So today, what we really want to be talking about is this new Turtles game.
Yeah.
But first, let's talk about what we've been playing, like we like to do.
Yeah.
Ryan, I got the platinum for the Artful Escape. I don't recommend that game. Yeah. It's the artsy fartsy game. It's there's a lot of artsy fartsy games that I really love.
Sure.
You know,
you actually, I feel like that's kind of your bread and butter, outside of like puzzle.
Outside
games
of mainstream stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's a beautiful game, but it's just boring to play.
Yeah.
You know? And the story's nothing great, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just, it's whatever. It's nice to look at, but that's really about it.
Yeah.
But it is one of those that, like, you play through and, like, there's your platinum, you know?
Sure, yeah.
I think it's, like, 3 hours, something like that.
Yeah, it is a The Walking Dead.
Right, except that was good, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, that had a decent story, and I don't know. I don't know how long that game was. It's been so long since I played The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I feel like that was at least a good 5 hours, right?
Maybe a little bit longer, but yeah.
But yeah, I don't recommend it. And I feel like it's rare that I say that. I don't like to be mean about games, but sure. Like that, you know, it's kind of just whatever.
Well, you know what? Listen, I was having a conversation recently about how, like, you know, no one's going to deny that making any video game is hard, right? But
okay,
like I feel like we have to be able to make the distinction between someone worked hard on this thing and this thing is bad, right?
Yeah,
like you can work hard on a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. I mean, the games that we typically make fun of, right? Like Bound by Flame or Ian's Eyes. Like, I guarantee people worked hard on those games.
Yeah, but they're not good games.
They are not.
Yeah.
It's just rare that I talk poorly about games on the show. Like, we don't review games, you know? That's not our thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, like, it's not great. I platinumed Turtles, but we'll get to that.
Sure.
And I've been playing a lot of, really my whole family has been playing a lot of the Capcom Fighting Collection, which is really good.
Right now.
I mean, I already told you about Red Earth. Yeah, what else do you want to know?
Tell me, well, I mean, we weren't recording when you told me about it.
Okay, Red Earth is definitely a single player focused fighting game. You can play multiplayer, but it's focused on single player, which is opposite of most fighting games.
Yes.
Which I find interesting. You know, it's gorgeous. It's the first CPS3 game, of which I think there was only like 5 or 6, you know, so it looks really, really nice. It's fun to play. You level up your characters and you get, you know, you unlock special moves as you go and you unlock resistances as you go.
Yeah.
Like you would in a regular RPG, right? Like poison resistance and shit like that. Everything that you're fighting against is not a selectable, playable character, right? Yeah. You're only fighting against bosses, which is neat for this sort of game. You know, I likened it to Goro or like Mataro from Mortal Kombat, right? Yeah. Like before they were selectable. In the games that they spawned from, when you couldn't play as them, you know, they didn't have to be balanced characters.
Yeah,
because they were there in the single player, and that was it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that works really well here. It's a lot of fun. That said, when I'm done playing it, I don't know how often I'll go back to it. Probably sure. not very, you know.
So, how many characters can you play as?
Four.
Four, okay.
Yeah.
Is yeah, one of them that lion-faced man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Lion-O.
Okay, cool. I just remember I saw a lion-faced man on the artwork for that game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, there's... It's like... It's very similar. You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of the Capcom D&D games, the right. beat-em-ups. I feel like they thought, like, let's make a fighting game of that, but let's not pay for that license. Let's just make our own thing, you know?
Right.
Because you've got, like, basically a barbarian, and basically a mage, and basically a thief, you know? Like, yeah.
So I'm wondering, it's kind of got me thinking, because I think a lot of the time... One of the main criticisms I heard about Street Fighter V when that game first came out was, you know, the lack of single player content.
Right.
And I think that there were a lot of people who were really looking for that single player content. And I wonder, though, because Street Fighter V is still, you know, a multiplayer first game.
Right.
The focus is definitely where the focus is. So I'm wondering, like, if with as much as I heard about the lack of single player content in that game, and conversely, a lot of the praise that the most recent Mortal Kombat trilogy has gotten for their single player content. Mm-hmm. I wondered, like, is there then like a market for like a primarily single player fighting game?
I don't think so. I really don't. Like, you know, Red Earth was never released on sure. home consoles. I had thought it would have been released on Saturn, but apparently I'm wrong. You know, there's a reason for that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they released all their fucking art. Capcom at that time?
Everything.
I mean, shit.
Round was that?
Oh, dude. CPS 3? I don't know. I mean, around the same time as Street Fighter 3. Okay. You know?
So, like, late 90s.
Yeah. I don't think there was a market for it. And, you know, really, people picking up this collection, I don't think there's a lot of people picking this up for Red Earth. Well, or Cyberbots.
Yeah, most people don't know what Red Earth is. I didn't know what Red Earth was until like a month ago. Yeah. So.
But you know, that said, it's fun. It's I've put some hours into it, and I've got a few more I need to put into it.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. The collection overall, I think it's like one of the better fighting game collections to come out in a very long time.
Yeah.
The Iron Galaxy collections on like the 360 PS3 generation, I feel like we're like the top, like the cream of the crop of fighting game collections, you know?
Yeah.
You had the Marvel Origins collection, you had Darkstalkers Resurrection, and they did Third Strike Online as well, even though that wasn't a collection, right?
Yeah.
But like, those are still the best versions of those games, you know? And that's two generations ago now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not like they haven't been released since. We've gotten releases of at least most of those games since that have been worse, you know. We had the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, which is not a great collection. It's a great collection of games, but the way in which you interact with those games is not fantastic.
Yeah.
Here, they've done a very good job. I think the only thing you can really knock on this collection is the fact that it's, you know, half of them are Darkstalkers titles.
Sure. Like, how many is that?
Five. Yeah, five Darkstalkers titles and then five other games, you know. But I do like the games that are on here. Hyper Street Fighter 2 Anniversary being on there is really cool, because like that hasn't come out, I don't think, since the PS2, you know.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's
the one that's all fast.
So Hyper Street Fighter 2 is like the Street Fighter 2 version of Ultra Street Fighter 4.
I see.
In which you Turbo can pick was any that. Version of a Street Fighter 2 character, right? You can play World Warrior Ryu, or Super Turbo Ryu, or Championship Edition Ryu, you know, like, yeah. Right. So it's just it's maybe the most unique version of Street Fighter 2, you know?
Yeah.
So it's neat to see it on there. Pocket Fighter hasn't been released since PS1. Unless you count the PS1 version on PS3.
What
you
is know? Pocket Fighter? Because I have always, like, in my mind uses Pocket Fighter and Puzzle Fighter interchangeably.
So Puzzle Fighter came first, and that's the puzzle game.
Right.
Right? Pocket Fighter is like, well, we already have those sprites from that puzzle game. Let's make a fighting game of it.
Okay, you know? So it's just like, it's like a more traditional fighting game.
Yeah, but it's very different, right? Like, it's the only game on this collection that anybody plays at a competitive level is Vampire Savior, you know? I'm sure, yes, you can probably find some tournaments that have, like, five attendants for some of these other games, you know? Yeah. But, like, yeah, Pocket Fighter. So it's the chibi versions of, like, these Capcom characters. You've got Darkstalkers characters, Street Fighter characters, one Red Earth character. And you've got these gems, harkening back to Puzzle Fighter, that fall from different things or out of, like, chests, or as you hit enemies, gems pop out, right? And you collect these gems, and the colors of those gems are coordinated to different special moves that you have.
Sure.
So you'll start off with, like, a really weak fireball, but as you level up that fireball by collecting a specific color of gem, it gets better and better and better.
Right.
It's goofy, but it's a lot of fun. It makes you think of a time when, like, Capcom gave a shit. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's really nice.
Do you feel like they give less of a shit now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, like, they are starting to turn that ship around, right? Like, it's looking better than it has for the past two console generations. Yeah. You know, with... You see attention and care being put into projects, whether that be Resident Evil 2 remake, less so Resident Evil 3 remake, you know?
Yeah.
Monster Hunter World, right? You see some love going into their projects, but, like... You know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
How it goes.
Tom, real quick. What is, in your opinion, favorite, I guess, okay, best Marvel and or X-Men fighting game?
Marvel 2, probably. Yeah. Probably Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I mean, like, there are things I like about other ones better, right? Like, I think the levels in Marvel vs. Capcom 1 are way cooler.
Yeah.
You know? But the gameplay and the roster of 2 is a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably that one.
Conceptually,
I think most people would say that one.
I've always liked Marvel superheroes the best.
Marvel superheroes, yeah. And there's talk about those games now, you know. People want to re-release of those games.
Yeah.
But, like, they re-released Marvel Super Heroes with the Marvel Origins collection, mm-hmm. and nobody bought that game, you know? So, and that was a very good version of those games, you know?
Yeah.
Really good, really well done, and better netcode in that than you see in most fighting games today.
Sure.
You know?
We're never going to get Omega Red in a fighting game again.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a great collection. I've seen a lot of, like, the FGC seems to be split on it. Like, you see a lot of Fightcade people saying that, like, you're going to split the community up. You know, that's what you're doing. You're splitting the community up. And, like, I get that argument to an extent. But, like, I just feel like this will grow the community because more people play Xbox and Switch and PlayStation and Steam than Fightcade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know. And what's great is, like, with these versions of the ROMs that are on there, they tell you the exact ROM that they're using, right? Yeah. So, like, this is the Vampire Savior that is played in tournaments, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I don't really see what the problem is. People are saying $40 is too much. I think $40 for 10 games, I don't think that's too much, you know? Sure. But people, we've talked about this before. It's very weird to me that people think, like, games should depreciate in value, you know, when we don't think the same about movies or music. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, like, yeah, because, like, you know, you'll look on, like, a digital storefront, right?
Yeah.
And you'll see, like, what was I looking at recently? Oh, okay. So I was looking at, God damn it. Divinity 2.
Yeah.
And that game is still $60.
Yeah.
Came out, God, I think it came out like 4 years ago.
Sure.
And, like, people will look at them and be like, that game is still $60. Yeah. I think that you hear it the most often with Nintendo first party games. It's like Breath of the Wild is still $60.
Yes, like, yes, yes.
And like,
Nintendo's
like,
pretty bad about it.
And it's just like, well, like, I think that, like, when it comes to music and movies and stuff, like, we're very quick to, like, say, like, man, like, I can't imagine paying $30 for a Mad Max Fury Road Blu-ray in 2022, mm-hmm. but, like, you know, at the same time, the conversation when it goes to video games is always different. So I don't know. It's just, it's very strange.
But like, if you go to the store and you buy a video game, mm-hmm. right? You go to Best Buy and you buy a video game that's old, right? Yeah. Let's say for some reason Ocarina of Time was on sale, right?
Right?
And you buy that.
Right.
You would expect to pay less for it than a current full price game.
Yeah.
But if you go to the next aisle over and you buy fucking, I don't know, fucking Thriller, you know, or you go and you buy Casablanca, like you wouldn't bat an eye at spending still $15-$20 on those things, you know.
Yeah,
never really understood that.
Like, and I think it's like a lot of it that price is like, okay, well, Thriller is regarded as one of the greatest albums of all time. Casablanca, very iconic movie,
right?
And but at the same time, Ocarina of Time is a very iconic video game.
Yeah.
Like whether it's the kind of game you like or not, it's like you can't deny that it's like one of the most influential games of the 20th century. So
yeah, so $40 for 10 games I think is a pretty good deal.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Especially with all the accoutrements put on there, you know?
That's less than $10 a game. So
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good, especially considering the fact that we are now paying $70 for one game, right?
Yep.
So like you know,
yeah, but that's what I've been playing. Those and Turtles,
bro. Like I've been playing, I don't know, man. I've been playing a lot of shit, and so I'm gonna try to condense this as best I can.
I see you pop up, like whether it's on our Discord,
yeah,
or even on PSN. And I swear, like every time I see your name, there's a new game. Next
I don't
to
know
it.
What is going you on know? With me, bro. Like, okay, so I think I'm gonna skip games that I've probably mentioned before and kind of mentioned many times before, and
okay. You know, it's whatever. I got time.
Okay, so let's see. God damn. Okay. Okay. So actually, one of these games, it made me really happy to play it because it brought up, you know, a very specific memory for me. I checked out this game called Telling Lies. Are you familiar?
I can see the art, thumbnail in my brain.
Right.
Right? Like, I know what it is, but I've never played it.
Okay. You have played it. It's called Her Story. Okay, so...
Well, it's the same people that made Her Story.
Yeah. Well, what's funny? Let me say something, Tommy. You know what's funny? Is I don't know if Telling Lies or Her Story came out first.
Her Story.
Okay. This brings me to my next point. One of the things... Because if you're listening and you've played Her Story, the experience is identical, right? The story is obviously different, but, you know, the whole thing is... But it's just like, they'll tell you, it's like, the gameplay... Like, it's like something like a unique experience that you have never experienced before. Like, a unique gameplay experience. And I'm like, I played Her Story, though. But anyway...
Yeah, but... And people can see this if you look at our Her Story playthrough.
Yeah.
You were gripped by the gameplay of Her Story.
Dude, Telling Lies, same.
Yeah, you were writing shit down, taking notes.
And like I was actually getting to the point where like I was playing Telling Lies. Okay, so if you're not familiar with Her Story or Telling Lies, basically the crux of the game is that like something happened. You don't know what happened, but something happened, and you have to figure out what happened by watching all these video clips that you have saved in your fictional computer. And they're all live action FMV, whatever you want to call it. And so, like, all the clips they're not arranged in any particular order. You kind of just have to search for keywords just search for words that have been said in videos to find maybe links or clues or whatever. And you kind of just watch the clips and try to piece together what happened. So, Telling Lies, from what I can gather, one of the four main characters is an FBI agent who is infiltrating in an eco-terrorist organization. And So he's married, has a child, but as part of his cover, I don't completely buy this, but as part of his cover, he has a girlfriend within the eco-terrorist organization who obviously knows nothing about his wife and child back home. And so you're watching him, like, through these different clips, you're watching him kind of, like, navigate both relationships through, like, video calls and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, it's really interesting the way he talks to his wife and the way that he talks to his girlfriend, and then the way he talks to his FBI handler, the way he talks to this the sex worker that he has video chats with. And it's this whole fucking web of, like, what a web of, like, conspiracy or whatever. But it is very, very, it's very entertaining.
It is interesting because, like, I feel like her story only worked because she was a good actor.
Yeah.
You know?
So the acting is actually really good. So the titular FBI agent, whose name I can't remember. I don't remember his name. But, like, he's a very good actor. I know I recognize the woman who played the sex worker because she... It's funny that Shanae was texting us about Westworld because the actress who plays the sex worker was, like, had a prominent role in, like the first couple of episodes of Westworld. So that's where I recognized her from. But it's really, like, the acting is, like, really, really good, I think. And, like, I found myself, like, getting, like, wrapped up. Because, like, basically a lot of it, like, for the most part, you're listening to them talk to each other, but you can only listen to, like, one side of the conversation at a time.
Right.
And so, like watching them, like, act out their side of the conversation is, like, very, like, there's something about that, like, kind of, like, if you don't know what the other person says, like, kind of imagining what they've been saying, and then, like, going to the other side of the conversation, like, remembering, like, what you heard already, and, like, listen. It's really neat. I, through searching, like, through the video clips, I found out, like, what ultimately happened to the FBI agent and what, you know, where his path led him. But, like, I don't know exactly what happened or what happened with everyone else. But it's neat. It's a really cool thing. And, like, I think if you're someone who likes puzzles and piecing together, like, a mystery, and you have a lot of patience to, like, sift through, like, a lot of, like, video, then it's a really good time. So this next one is a game that you actually bought me, I want to say 5 years ago, but you bought it for me on computer, and, it's called Redeemer.
Oh yeah. Redeemer.
Yeah. So, like, I was like, this game is $2 right now and I'm sitting on my sofa. I'm going to go ahead and check it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that game is rad. That game is really cool.
I don't know why I bounced off of it so quick. Like, I remember playing it when it first came out and thinking, like, this is really fun.
Yeah.
And then never playing it again.
Well, like, I think that a lot of it is, so it's like, it's a top down beat 'em up. And you play as this guy who, I guess, who sought refuge in a monastery and, like, trying to, like, live a new life. But, like, he's obviously got, like, a violent past and he knows how to hurt people. These people come looking for him at this temple. So he's fighting them. And it's really neat because, like, the way that you can combine moves, like your punches and your kicks, along with, like execution, like context sensitive execution moves and stuff like that, it's really satisfying. There's, like, got a weighty feel to the combat that I really like. And I've actually put more time into it than I had previously.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I really like it. It's a really cool game. I don't know exactly, like, what the deal is and if they're going to tell me, like, why these people came after him or what the main character's deal is or whatever, but it is real fun messing up those guys real bad. So, also, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I played a little bit of Tales of Arise.
I saw that. Yeah. Arise Chicken.
Arise Chicken Arise. this is like, okay. So I tried when I played the demo for Tales of Arise. When the demo dropped, and I was like, wow, this is a pretty badass game.
I remember you talking about it.
Seems like.
And then you had bought like a different one, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I bought because I kind of wanted because like I have a friend who's like really into like the series, and yeah. like so I was like, okay, well let me try to see what this is about and like maybe get into it and see if like see if I like this game, then there's a good chance that I'll probably vibe with Tales of Arise whenever it comes out. And so I tried Tales of Berseria. It's pretty neat, but I think that like the thing about Tales of Berseria versus Arise is that I think Arise has like a lot more. I think the combat in Arise flows better, and yeah. I think that the moves look a lot cooler to pull off. Which I think, to me, in my opinion, I think the whole draw of the combat in Tales of Arise is how cool like your super moves look. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing. And
it's not turn-based, right?
No. So basically it's real time, and yeah. you like all your the whoever you're not controlling is controlled by the AI, and you can switch between them whenever you want. And it actually like you could go through a fight just controlling one person the whole time, but you can do more damage and sync up moves better if you switch to one person to set up one move to set up like their magic move or their specific move, switch to another person to set up their move, and so on and so forth. And you're able to yeah. like build combos, and the higher your combo is, the more damage you'll do. So, but I like it a lot so far. The story is pretty neat. I feel like this is probably the first Tales game that I'll actually like really, really get into. I think,
yeah.
I thought Berseria was really cool, but I don't know what it is, man. I have a thing about like games where I see where there's a character that is like somehow adjacent to what would be called a precocious child,
which is like yeah.
very much like a Kevin McAllister type child who yeah. is like, I'm like, you know, I'm only 10 years old, but I know what's up. And like, I'm not saying that a kid can't be smarter than an adult. What I am saying is that precocious youngsters annoy me. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
But so far the game is really cool, so I think I'm gonna stick with it. Also checked out that Destroy All Humans remake. And,
yeah, I played a little bit of that a couple months ago.
That game has. So from what I could tell so far, like the gameplay has, I feel like it's held up. I haven't this is the first time I played it since like 2005, and it's still very fun. Like it's really fun to like use the ray gun on like on those farmer guys, and like it's real fun to like to make their heads explode and stuff. So I don't know. I like it. I think it's a really cool concept for a game, and I think I find the main character's voice kind of grating because I feel like he's doing some kind of Jack Nicholson impression, and like
yeah, and that's what everybody compares him to.
And I'm just like, man, I really wish he didn't talk like that. But like,
and then his buddy is the guy that does Zim.
Yeah, but like I find that guy's like affectations when he's speaking to be like very entertaining.
Sure.
Because I think it's like they're so over the top and like silly. So I like that sort of thing. And also, before we get into the turtles talk, I've been on a CRPG kick lately. And
What did you buy? Shadowrun?
So I got the Shadowrun trilogy, which I was talking to you about it through text a few days ago. And man, I like it. I like it a lot. Like this, like I feel like this is like the mixture of like, because it's like it's, if you're not familiar with Shadowrun, it's like it's cyberpunk fan. It's a cyberpunk world where like fantasy shit happens. So you got elves and orcs and dwarves and magic and shit like that. But like the first game in the series, Shadowrun Returns, is like very much like this like noir murder mystery where you had a friend that, and you guys did a job together. The job went bad, and then your friend like was like, "I'm gonna go lay low for a while." And then one day, out of the blue, your friend sends like you get a message from that friend. It was very much a, "If you're hearing this, I'm dead," And so like and so like he's like basically like, and for some reason, like it, like I'm not sure why, but like he's like, I'm dead, but I want you to find out who killed me. And like, and so he's like, if you find out who killed me and bring them down, then I'll have someone who's going to wire $100,000 into your account. And so like now I'm like going through the city of Seattle trying to figure out who off my friend, and like it's all these threads going in all these different directions. But it reminds me of what you were talking about with Disco Elysium and how well that game is written. And yeah, this isn't going in like the same direction as you were telling me with Disco Elysium. It's very much like, but it is very much like a, like if you like noir, like murder mysteries, and like it's very entertaining. Like all the flavor text is really good. All the dialogue is written really well. I will say that whoever wrote the dialogue has a thing for like, this is like the one knock I have against it, is that like when you can tell, like if it's a, when you can tell that someone is supposed to be like of a specific lineage, like if they're supposed to be Japanese or Spanish,
yeah,
or Hispanic or whatever, like they'll throw in like words from those languages that like they don't need to be there. Like they'll just throw those words in the middle of them talking, and like a way that like, and I know that people who speak English as a second language often do that, but typically when that happens, like the word that they're using makes contextual sense, and like it doesn't make a whole lot of sense here. So I think that they were kind of just doing that to like help you remember that that person.
And your audio cut out. He's figuring it out. It'll be all right. So I guess this is the Tom show right now, you know.
Wait, okay.
There you are. Here you are.
I accidentally unplugged my microphone in a fervor.
That's all right. Well, yeah, you were getting passionate about this writer.
Yeah, I love him, whatever his name is. But yeah, Shadowrun is really cool. I was telling you that, like, hackers, or as they're known in this world, deckers, they refer to the real world as the meat space, and I find that really charming, which is cool because I have a character who was a decker, and like when you hack into systems, you go into this like digital world inside the computer, and then like you have to run programs from your cyber deck to like attack like that computer's defenses in order to get to like whatever you're trying to get at. Like if you're trying to get to these files, then there might be like defense programs that are like deployed to like stop you. And so it's really neat. It's neat. It's fun.
I've heard a lot about that game over the years, and I know I've seen screenshots of it at some point, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've ever watched like gameplay of that game.
Yeah. So I don't think honestly that looking at gameplay is really going to blow you away.
No, I'm sure it won't. I mean, it's an old game.
Yeah, but I think that, and you know what's funny is that, like, whenever I play a CRPG, the first CRPG I ever played was Fallout 1.
Yeah.
And ever since that game, I've compared the combat and every other CRPG that I've played to that game.
Sure.
Fallout 1 is still the best one. Like, it's just because like one of the things that I like, and I think I talked about something similar with like ARPGs, is that like I like when I kill a guy, his death animation is very specific to the way that like I killed him. Like, for example,
yeah, you were talking about that a couple shows ago.
Yeah. Like, for example, like in Fallout 1, if you kill someone with like a fully automatic weapon, then they do the little machine gun dance. And like, I like that stuff. But other than that, like, the game is really good. I think that what carries it, definitely, like, the combat is fun, and like leveling up and customizing your character is really fun. But I think the writing is really what carries that game. So
as it should.
Yeah, but it's really good. And I've also I've also been dabbling in Pillars of Eternity, which, you know, it is a very challenging game, but I like it so far. And the last thing besides Turtles, which is a really funny coincidence, is that I don't know what told me to do it, but out of nowhere, I was like, I want to play some Dragon's Dogma. And so, like,
how are you playing that today?
So I loaded up Dragon's Dogma, and I was playing, and I was like, man, Dragon's Dogma is so good. I love this game. And then, like, and I'm like, I'm going to check my phone. And then all of a sudden, I'm seeing all this stuff about Dragon's Dogma 2. And I was like, did I manifest this?
Oh, you didn't see that stuff, like, last week or whenever?
No, that's when I decided I was going to play some Dragon's Dogma. And then, like, I got off my, as soon as I ended the close of the game, then, like, I started seeing, because I didn't watch the whole, the thing. So, like, I didn't.
It wasn't much of anything to watch.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So then,
like, it's happening. That's it, you know.
Yeah. So, like, I just thought it was a very strange coincidence because I didn't know anything about a potential Dragon's Dogma 2. I had always assumed that was just something that was never going to happen.
They announced it last week, or the week before. But, like, it was very much. It's like when Nintendo announced Metroid Prime 4. Mm-hmm. You know, where it's like, we're making this and that's it.
Yeah.
You know.
And, like, and we've seen, when was that anyway? That was like,
that was forever ago, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know, but I remember that when I got on Netflix one day and I was like, they did a Dragon's Dogma show.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was interesting, but I didn't read anything into that. But so yeah, Dragon's Dogma, still great. Pawns are still funny. I should play the 360 version so I could see your pawn again if he's still there. But
I'm sure he's out there just like, not helping somebody.
Master. But yeah, so anyway, let's get into this Turtles talk. I want to talk about Turtles.
Yeah, man. So, like, what's funny is, like, this game got announced really not that long ago.
Yeah.
And we've both been pretty hyped for it. It's one of my most, what's funny is, like, it's last week and this week, right? My most anticipated games of the year so far.
Yeah.
Which is Turtles in this fighting game collection.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I do love this game. There are things I dislike about it a lot.
Okay, let's start with those.
Okay. Well, okay. So what's interesting is, like, they went heavy with the cartoon, right? The old cartoon.
Yeah.
That's certainly not my favorite iteration of the Turtles.
In fact, like, this is supposed to be a continuation of the cartoon, right?
Say again?
It's supposed to be like a continue. Oh, we lost picture. We lost Tom.
Yeah, I got, someone's trying to call me. It's fine.
Okay. So this is, isn't this supposed to be like a continuation of that old cartoon?
It sure seems that way.
Yeah.
And, like, I loved that cartoon as a kid, you know, I really did.
Yeah.
I think we all, but did. Going back and watching it now, it hasn't aged well, you know, so there's a lot of turtle stuff that I like a lot more. That said, I understand why they picked that version, you know?
Yeah.
Easily the most recognizable version of the Turtles.
Sure.
I get it, you know. I don't know, like, so many of my complaints, I feel like I understand where they're coming from, right? Like, I understand why they picked that cartoon show.
Yeah.
As far as more modern beat-em-ups, I feel like it's one of the least, it has the least depth of a lot of the more recent beat-em-ups, right?
Sure.
You know, this is made by the guys that made Scott Pilgrim for Ubisoft.
Right.
And some of these developers worked on Streets of Rage 4. People seem to get it confused who developed this game and who published this game.
Yeah, Dotemu published it.
Yes, but they also had a hand in development. Mm. If you watch the developer diaries of the game, it's like a collaborative effort between the two studios.
Right.
So, like, with the pedigree of those two studios, I feel like the gameplay itself is quite simple.
Sure.
But I get it. You know, like, compared to the old Turtles arcade games, there's way more complexity than those, you know?
Yeah.
And if you went much further than that, I think people that grew up playing those games and are buying this game because they're expecting that, you know, like, you can't, I feel like you can't deviate too far. So I understand, you know? But like the thing that really, really bothers me that I've not seen anybody, any reviews, like even mentioned, is the meditate button.
Yeah.
You know, like that should not be there at all. The taunt button, you know?
Yeah.
It breaks the game, right? Like it makes it so like, because just like every other beat 'em up that's ever existed since the dawn of beat 'em ups, right? Like you beat up all the dudes on screen and it doesn't move you. You move yourself.
Right.
So what reason would you have to not do that after every single encounter?
Which is what I do.
You know what I mean? And you know, people have told me, well, just don't do that. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I can just not do that. But when you're playing online with anybody, everybody is stopping to do that.
Sure.
You know, it just kind of ruins the game.
So when I first realized that the taunt button was there, I was under, so my, the way I'm used to taunt buttons working in either beat 'em ups or fighting games is that like, if the taunt button increases a meter, it only would increase a meter when you are in the context of like, well, there are guys around and it's the risk is that I'm going to do the taunt and the reward is that if they don't hit me during the taunt, I get this benefit. And but like there's no risk reward there.
So the meter also builds just with combos, right?
Right.
I'm talking specifically about the arcade mode, you know, hitting enemies without being hit.
Yeah.
Because once you're hit, it goes back down.
Right.
I think like that should be the only way to get meter in the game. Mm-hmm. That said, like I still love the game. Like I had a blast playing it, you know. I like the move sets of the different characters. There are things that like Casey. What's so interesting about Casey is, so Casey is unlockable, right? You beat the game, you get Casey. And, like, he's got one extra stat point. Like, he's got an additional stat point to everybody else.
Yeah.
So you would automatically think that Casey Jones is going to be the best character. And he's the character I like the least.
Yeah.
Like, to play as.
Yeah.
To play as, you know?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't really feel like he has much of an identity. You know, he's just kind of like, just, whatever.
Yeah, he just, well, like, and that's the thing too, right, is that, like, I went into this, I was like, I'm going to be Donatello, because Donatello's my favorite turtle, and I'm just going to play as Donatello all the time, right?
Sure.
You
get the range.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a smart guy, you know? And, but then, like, I was like, well, I mean, I got this game, I might as well try all the characters. This is before I knew that there were trophies for, like, doing stuff with different characters or whatever.
Sure.
And so I go to Michelangelo next. I'm like, oh, this moveset's pretty fun. It's pretty
great. It's my favorite. That was the first character I picked. Still my favorite of all.
And
of
I noticed the decision to give him only one set of nunchucks as opposed to giving him the two. And I feel like that works better, and I feel like it's more fun to like play as him, because like part of this stuff is like how cool, like what the moves look like, right? And I feel like his moves look cooler with just the one set of nunchucks, because it looks, I don't know, it's whatever. But then I played April, and I was like, what the fuck is April's deal? Like, it's like her anti-air move and her what do they call it? The flying special, where you dodge and then you do the special. It's a full ass fucking combo, and it's just like, I don't know. It's
she's so really everyone cool. Like they all have strengths and weaknesses, right? Like I heard somebody complaining that like Leonardo, his, you know, when you jump and you like slowly come down like you do in the old games, like his is that spinning thing, you know? And they're like, oh man, Leonardo's overpowered because blah blah blah. And I'm like, okay, well, one, it's not a competitive game.
Sure.
Okay. Two, like April's rising attack is the best one, right? Like they all have something that they're the best at.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But like, I immediately took to Mikey and April. It is interesting that like they both have infinites, you know, that remind me a lot of Cherry and Streets of Rage.
Sure.
But super fun, man. Super fun.
Yeah, like, and it's one of those games where like, because, like, naturally, if you're someone who grew up when we did, you're thinking about you're thinking about the Turtles the arcade game and Turtles in Time. You're like, you're thinking about those games the whole time. And like, you know, I've heard people who say that this is like the first great Turtles game since Turtles in Time. And I mean, I don't know about that because I haven't played all of them.
Yeah. But I mean, there's been a shit ton.
Yeah. So, but like, at the same time, what I will say is that, like, I remember back when I was a kid, and most of the time when I played the Turtles game, I was usually playing it by myself. Like, okay. I'd go up to the arcade cabinet, no one else was playing it, and I'd always end up playing by myself. And sometimes there was, like, one other person was playing with me. But there was always something about that rare occasion when all four spots were filled, and yeah, you saw all four turtles on screen, and there's like just nothing. Yeah, like, there's nothing like it. And I played with some people the other day, and all six slots were filled, and it was all four turtles, Splinter and April, and I was like, this is so fucking cool. And it gave me that same feeling of like, it gave me that same feeling that I remember from when I was a kid. And like, don't get me wrong, shit is fucking chaotic, and there are times where like I would be like, there would be a moment where like I think I'm doing something, and then I finally see my character and I'm off like punching air like on the other side of the screen.
I think they handled it really well.
Yeah,
like, I don't know, man. I played a lot of six. I played a lot of this game in general.
Yeah,
but I played a lot of six player, because like I was trying to do the two trophies. I was trying to do the one that you're working on, which is like level every character.
Yeah,
right. And also trying to do the one where you beat the game on the hardest difficulty.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm dreading that right now.
That's really not that difficult with six people.
Right.
You know? The difficulty goes up, but, like, you got a lot of lives there and a lot of people to revive you and all that, you know?
Yeah.
Doing it by yourself, I'm sure, would be miserable.
Yeah.
But, like, man, I think they did such a good job with six players because, like... Yeah, every now and then I would lose my character, but for the most part, I could keep track of it and feel like I was contributing in a meaningful way, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is probably pretty difficult to do in a game like this, you know?
Sure, yeah. And, like,
I do think three is the sweet spot. You know, I think three players is the sweet spot.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, but, again, like, I just... Having all four turtles on the screen, like, just gives me just, like, this really... like good nostalgic feeling. And but like I've been really enjoying it, and like it's just been a game that, like, you know, I think that this game does a really good job of kind of highlighting what was really good about those old arcade games while bringing like some fresh ideas to the table. And the one thing that I feel like I understand why it's not there. I understand why like they didn't do it. But I remember in Turtles in Time when you would throw people at the screen and they would like actually hit the screen. I love that. And I understand why they're not doing that now, because like it'd be kind of ridiculous with like six people all throwing the, like characters at the screen at the same time. But I don't know. That's one of those things that I kind of miss. But you know, I like that all of the turtles and all the characters, I should say, feel really unique. And I have favorite special moves. I have favorite dash moves
for
everybody. I love that April, like a lot of her moves are like her whipping out camera equipment and like, and
people with
boom mics and stuff like that. I love that
fucking Mikey, the Mikey dash move, like, you can basically spam it like the fucking Cinder move in Killer Instinct, you know?
Yeah.
I like how much they took from fighting games. Like, they took a lot from fighting games, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think, like, I think it's hard to make a retro-style game now that will be remembered, you know?
Sure.
It's happened, right? Like, people still praise Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
I think people will praise Streets of Rage 4 for a long time. But you have so many beat-em-ups coming out all the time now.
Yeah.
that no one's going to talk about in 10 years, you know?
And that's
and I think Turtles is a game that people will talk about,
yeah,
you know?
Because I think a lot about, like games like Shovel Knight or The Messenger.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are both games that are coming out when everybody's doing retro-styled games, right? Not everybody, but there are a lot of retro-styled games coming out. And,
yeah,
you know, it's really hard to kind of, you know, separate yourself from the saturation of these kinds of games,
right?
And I think I commend them for having the guts to do a retro style Turtles game now, because like that's kind of an easy thing to fuck up, I think. And
yeah,
I think that they do it really well, and like not being so tied to like, you know, what made those past games great, and like really bringing more to like the formula and making it feel modern and classic at the same time is like, I think, a really hard balance to strike.
Sure.
And you know, when I play the game and I feel like playing the game and feeling like, you know, feeling like I'm a kid again is like, it's not something that's usually easy to happen. Like that doesn't happen to me very often.
Yeah.
And so when it does, like it's just it's an amazing thing. I did have a I got to the point where like I saw I remember at, after I cleared the game the first time, I was like, okay, let's take a look at this trophy list. And
yeah.
I was just like, beat Super Shredder without getting hit, that's not gonna fucking happen. Never mind. But like one night,
dude,
the other night I decided, I was like, I'm gonna fucking do this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking do this.
It's really not bad. I think it would have been worse if it was beat Shredder without getting hit. Like the regular Shredder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is much harder.
Yeah.
Like this final boss is a joke, you know?
Yeah. But like I was like sitting here, I was sitting in front of my TV like until like 5 a.m, like just sitting there like redoing that fucking fight. And like it, like, yeah. And you know,
did you do it alone?
Yes, I had to. I was like, I was up so fucking late. And then like, but then Kaylee decided that she wanted to get it too. And I was like, okay. But then like, we managed to get it for her pretty quickly. But then like, and I told her, then I was like, look, that 250 hit combo is not something I can help you with. You're going to have to do that on your own. But,
yeah.
And I remember like, I remember getting, when I got the 250 hit combo, which is one of the trophies. And like, so what happened was, and I'm, I don't know if you remember, but there, like in one of the later levels, there's these little robots who like, they, like if you hit them, sometimes they turn on their backs like turtles.
Yeah.
And like, you can just hit them. So I happened to catch one of those motherfuckers, like he's in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I was playing as Donnie, and I was just hitting him over and over again against the wall, refreshing myself and hitting him over and over against the wall. And
you're like thinking to yourself, is this happening? Am I gonna
get
it?
Yes, I thought that, because like I got to 150, I was like, am I doing this? Is this gonna happen? And like I started getting really stressed out. I was like, if I fail to reposition myself, if I overcompensate, I'm gonna fuck this up. And I got to 200. I was like, am I fucking doing this? And I got to, when I got to 250, when I got to 252, I dropped the combo, and like I was like, oh my god, I finally.
That's funny.
And I was like, but like, you know,
if you take April or Mikey into the first level. And I assume you know the first level pretty well, because it's probably the level that you play the most.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They have so many attacks that hit multiple times.
Yeah.
You know? And they're so fast that if you know where enemies are coming from, it's really not that bad, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so fun. It's just, like, it feels good to play. And, like, and I was telling you about this before, is that, like, because like playing it, like this is not at all a knock on the game, but like when I was playing it, like I was like, man, I really want to play some Streets of Rage all of a sudden. And so like I went into Streets of Rage, and like, you know, I picked up Cherry because Cherry's my favorite character in Streets of Rage 4, but like she has a dash, but like no one else does. And so like I was like, when I was playing as Axel or Blaze, Like, I was just having a really hard time. I was like, fuck, I can't dash in this game. But like, it reminded me of like, man, I really like the idea of a dash in every beat 'em up, because I like how it feels.
Yeah, the dash button in that game is really good for sure. But man, Streets of Rage, it's so good. The depth there, you know, in 4 specifically, it's crazy.
Yeah,
and like, that's what Streets of Rage needed, right? Because like, the console versions of Streets of Rage were mechanically deeper than fucking Turtles in Time or Manhattan Project or any of those, you know? So it made sense for them to go crazy with that. Whereas with Turtles, I feel like being a bit more reserved was a smart idea, you know?
Yeah.
Whether that was intentional or not.
So what did you feel about, what did you think about like all the different cameos from like all the different, all the, like from the neutrinos and the punk dogs and...
Yeah, I liked it a lot, man. I think there's more that could have been there, you know? But, like, I don't think we needed to fight Bebop and Rocksteady fucking 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, and...
You know? You know what I mean?
Fucking bullshit, like, level with their fucking truck.
Yeah, like, I get it from a narrative standpoint, but, like, there's, like, 15 levels in that game.
Yeah.
And, like, 5 of the boss battles are them, you know?
Yeah.
4 or 5, I don't remember exactly. I feel like there could have been more there, but like at the same time, they pull some characters that were like in 2 episodes of the show, and that's it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and that's pretty cool. Like, that's pretty cool.
Like I was like, Tempestra, that's a deep cut.
yeah. Yeah, and the fact that she summons Toka and Rezar, I was like, that's weird.
Yeah, you know? I was like,
yeah,
like I was not expecting that. But
I kind of expected there to be like a fucking Usagi Yojimbo reference at some point.
I was just thinking that.
But like, you know, that's Stan Sakai, like Nintendo. Nickelodeon does not own that, you know?
Yeah.
So they can't just throw that out whenever they want. But
yeah,
he seems to play ball on most Nickelodeon Turtles projects. I think he would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
This fucking soundtrack was great. Like, I like the redone opening with fucking Mike Patton.
Yeah.
And like, you know.
Raekwon and Ghostface had like Shredder.
Yeah, that was cool too. Yeah. I even like, there's the one where you like, you're on the fucking hoverboards and they're dropping like foot soldiers out of the blimps. And there's like, I don't know who's singing that song, but it like, people have compared it a lot to Sonic Adventure, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I very much hate City Escape. Like, I really don't like that song, you know? Yeah. But it does, like, remind me of that time in video games. And that's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, I think the soundtrack on this game was, like, really, really solid. And, like,
it's T-Lopes, the Sonic Mania guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just very, like, just arcadey in all the best ways, I think.
Yeah.
And, like, it's one of those things where... You know, you think that like they could have really easily like just done something like really, really simple. But like, I was like, why are all these tracks so complex? And why are there vocals in so many of these songs?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, they really pull up, and I actually like listening to it. It's not something that I would go out and buy or anything, but like, it's like it really fits the game, and I like it a lot, you know, but.
Right. And I think that's more important, right? Like, there are plenty of game soundtracks that I would go out and buy.
Yeah.
But, like, in the context of the game, like, I think they did a really good job. I think the guy, fucking T-Lopes, like, he did the Mr. X's Nightmare DLC music as well. And, like, I think he does a very good job of making the music sound like something that would naturally comes from those games. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the Sonic Mania music, even though a lot of it's remixes, there is some original music there that fits with Sonic. You know, same thing with the Mr. X Nightmare DLC. Like, it fits with Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Like, I think there's a lot more, you know, video game composers. I'm sure they do music outside of gaming.
Yeah.
That have really been doing that a lot over the past decade or so, right? Like, people always talk about Mick Gordon with Doom.
Yeah.
And I think he did a great job with Doom, but, like, people forget he also did Prey.
Prey is so good. He did
Wolfenstein as well. Yeah, and like they are completely different, you know, but they fit those games so well.
Yeah. You know what's it's funny that like when we're talking about the music, like I was thinking about like how like I love Doom and like I love the soundtrack of Doom like in the context of that game.
Sure.
But like I have the 5-disc set of that soundtrack on vinyl. And like I listen to it because like I make it a point to listen to every record that I buy because like why buy them otherwise? But like I'm probably never gonna play that record again. Like because I don't just sit and listen to that kind of music. So like like the idea of just like sitting there listening to like Doom music is just like this like very hard like industrial metal. I'm just like I'm good.
I see, and then what's funny is like I have listened to that soundtrack independently of the game.
Yeah,
you know, I wouldn't pick it every day, but you know, sometimes.
Yeah, but speaking of which, like, speaking of like the sound and everything, like to kind of sell the whole thing is like all the original voice actors coming back and like reprising their roles as like their different turtles. And like,
I didn't like it.
I
like some of it.
I figured that you wouldn't, but like, I was just like, but I was like, man,
it's cool. It shows that they care.
Yeah, but like, right? I was like, man, Rob Paulsen does not sound like a tough guy. Like, that is not a tough guy voice.
No, but that's the one that I like because they're going for the old show, and he sounds like Raph did on the old show.
I get that,
Mikey. Mikey sounds like he's fucking 70 years old. And it's because he probably is, you know?
You can't stop the ravages of time, Tom. But
I know, but it doesn't sound like it used to. It might be the same guy, but he can't
do that voice. I'm thinking about Raph, and I'm like, man, that is not what I remember Raph sounding like. But, like, that's what he sounded like. And, like, and you know what? I bet if James Avery were still alive, they would have got him for Shredder, too.
Sure. And the Shredder fill-in sounded fine.
Yeah.
You know? And the same guy, I forget who it is, but two of the Turtles' voices voiced Bebop and Rocksteady, so, like, those sounded fine.
Yeah.
Donnie, I think, sounded exceptionally well. But, like, the Mikey voice, I was like, wow.
Is that Kaylee was like, why do they make Donatello sound like such a fucking dweeb? And I was like, well, he's a nerd, you know? But, like, my favorite thing about my favorite line of Shredder is when you beat him, he's like, no. My revenge. I thought that was so great. It was so on the nose.
You know what's another sound thing though that's great about that I really do like about the voices is that like it sound like they put some sort of filter on it, so it sounds slightly muffled, right? Because if you go back and play Turtles in Time, it's like right, like they do the same thing there.
Yeah,
it's not as strong as it is in those games, because in those games it's not a filter, it's just a limitation of the fucking hardware, you know. But like there's a bit of they're muffled a bit, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, and it's one of those, it's kind of one of those, like, you know, it's one of those things that like if you didn't do it no one would notice, but like the fact that you did is kind of like a little, like, it's kind of like part of, you know, how much it kind of is a testament to like how into creating this like experience you are, and I think that's really neat. You know,
beautiful game.
Yeah, and I would honestly, man, like I don't know that you could add to this game and make it any better. But what I would like to see, I hope that there's a follow up to this game. Like I really hope that there's a follow up to this game.
I just want DLC for it.
Yeah, so what would you like to see? Like, would you like more characters? Or, like...
You know, more characters is great, but, like, I feel like the roster they have is fine.
Yeah.
I'd like to see something similar to, like, Mr. X's Nightmare DLC.
Sure, yeah.
I think that's a very good way to go with the beat-em-up, you know?
Yeah. And I think it adds, like, a lot of replayability to the game, too.
For sure, yeah. And that was just super fun. And they already have I mean, it's a very basic, but they already have a leveling system built in because of the single player story mode or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool. But, I don't know. I want to see them take on another franchise now, you know? Like, that Scott Pilgrim beat-em-up, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Turtles was done differently, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel like a Turtles game done in the same way that that beat-em-up was done would have resonated with a lot of people.
Sure, yeah.
But well,
I think the Scott Pilgrim game... I feel like the Scott Pilgrim game, it was really more aimed at, like, people who, like, love River City Ransom.
Yeah, it's deeper River City Ransom. Yeah,
and I think that, like... I think the people who play, and like, I'm not saying that these two people, that these two groups are necessarily disparate, but like, I do think that like, people who are like really into River City Ransom and people who are really into like arcade beat 'em ups are like kind of two different kinds of people.
Sure, sure. So I mean, even Streets of Rage, right? Like Streets of Rage, the old Streets of Rage games are very different than the games we were playing at the arcade.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so like I'm if not, yeah, so if not a follow up to the to like if not a, like a follow up Turtles game or like a DLC or something, it would, I wonder, like, I think I'm trying to think of like other franchises that they could take on, and like, because by virtue of, you know, what this game is, I can't help but like wonder, like, what cartoon show can they do next?
Sure.
But you know, it could really be anything, you know, like I would like to see, you know, like, well, I remember around the time of, and I think this was actually another Konami game, like, that was coming out around the time when Konami was, like, putting out all these arcade games. Do you remember Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So lame.
Yeah. It's, like, such a late, like, it was such that the concept of that show was lame.
Yeah.
But the kind of the shooter that they put out, like, based on that game,
yeah,
pretty legit.
No shit.
Yeah, pretty legit.
There's just so many of those, like, fucking Street Sharks and Biker Mice and all that crap. You know.
So whoever announces a Street Sharks game will get my money immediately. Immediately. I think, like,
it's got to be, to me, it's got to be a franchise money that is like
alive.
It had a lot of like hand-to-hand fighting, you know.
Yeah.
Like, sure. I think when you first brought up the question, my brain goes to like Ghostbusters or G.I. Joe, and like those wouldn't make sense with a beat 'em up, you know. Yeah. I think even though I never really cared for it as a kid, I think a Power Rangers beat 'em up would be great, because those old Power Rangers beat 'em ups were really good.
Yeah, you know. Because I know that they've put out like a fair amount of Power Rangers games over like the years. I'm not sure like what kind of games those were, but I do think
I'm talking about like the home versions. I don't know if they're what arcade ones there were, but they were like SNES. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm talking
Power
about.
Rangers like, beat 'em ups that were great. Yeah, you know,
because like, so I remember when I was a kid, I had a Genesis Power Rangers game, and an SNES Power Rangers game. So the Genesis Power Rangers game was actually a fighting game. I don't want to say in the same way as Battle for the Grid, but like it was very much like it was a fighting game that kind of tried to emulate what like kind of the Street Fighter 2 of the day.
Right.
But the Street Fighter, I'm sorry, the Super Nintendo game was like a pretty solid beat 'em up. And it had like, and it did, you know, it did the thing where like, you know, you're playing as, I feel weird calling them, saying that they were in plain clothes because they're not fucking cops, but like, but like, you know, when the Power Rangers in like
plain clothes Rangers.
Yeah, when they were plain clothes Rangers, and then like, then you get to the point in the level where then you would morph and then you'd have all these other moves and stuff. So
I think something like that would be cool, or like do their own, like come up with their own thing, because they have their own, I forget what the game's called, but they have a 2D side-scrolling game. It's not a beat-em-up. It's like a adventure platformer, action platformer game. That's like theirs. It's just their own IP, and it's supposed to be pretty solid, you know?
Yeah, so, like, the talent there is, like, unquestionable, and I think that, like, whatever, you know, I really feel confident that whatever project they take on next, whether it be more Turtles or another, like, established IP or like their own thing, I really feel confident that they're gonna pull it off. I want to play more Turtles. I want to platinum that game. I think I'm gonna do it. I really think that, like, because right now I've been going through, and so I noticed a couple of things. So I realized, like, it took me a while. It took me longer than I probably should have to realize that, like, 2,000 points is when you level, is when you're at max level for everybody, right? That took me longer than I should have to realize that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Level 10 or whatever it is, yeah.
So, so two things. One is that...
So you've got, like, a 6,000 Donatello that you should have been spending that time with other characters, or, like...
There's that.
Yeah.
I just want to play Donatello. He's my favorite, so I just want to play him all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, so there's that, but there's also, like, I realize that when I'm playing multiplayer, I'm not getting points for the guys that, like, my friends are knocking out. So I'm missing out on those points.
Right.
And then I also realize I'm not getting points for the guys who get killed by an exploding barrel or who get killed by a car hitting them. So now I'm just like, I'm not blowing up any barrels, and I'm going to try to get them before the car gets them. Those are points that just points on the table.
I mean, I think at least for the faster characters, right? For like leveling Mikey or leveling April, I think you're better off playing with people. You'll level them faster.
Yeah.
Because there are more enemies, and because you are playing a faster character, you can get those enemies before your friends can.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I leveled a lot of them by myself and a lot of them with friends.
Also, those Triceraton guys are worth 2 points instead of one. So there's
that. I did not know that.
Yeah, I realized that, like, last night. I was like, am I getting 2 points for these guys?
And so, that's funny.
So, like, I just kind of been, like, repeating those levels over and over again. But great game. Really great game. I'm glad. And, like, now I'm looking forward to... I'm still looking forward to the Cowabunga collection as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it for a completely different reason, you know? Yeah. Like, the nostalgia is there. I will play Turtles in Time, and I'll play Turtles Arcade, Manhattan Project, and all that. Yeah. But, like, really, I want to play that fucking Tournament Fighters, you know? Yeah.
And, like, they have, like, every version of that game, right?
Yeah. And I only want to play the one. You know, but like, I will enjoy myself with a lot of the other games on that collection as well.
I only played the Super Nintendo one, so I'm looking forward to seeing the I don't know what's different about the other versions, but you know, I'm looking forward
they're
to
worse.
The worse?
They're much worse. Super Nintendo one is the one to play.
I see.
But like that said, like Tournament Fighters for NES, which is on this collection, is like one of the only NES fighting games. Right? Like what we nowadays consider to be a modern day fighting game. It's like one of the only ones on the NES. And like for that, like if you think about the limitations, it's really not bad. You know?
Sure. I'm definitely gonna play it, and I'm definitely going to, I think what I'm probably gonna do is like I'm definitely gonna play the games that I never got to play first. Like I never
all those Game Boy games.
Yeah. So well I mean also I've never played Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
So like, I'm interested to check that out, and then I'm probably after I play those, then I'm probably just gonna play Turtles Arcade over and over again until I'm done with it. But
Turtles Arcade, the NES version of Turtles Arcade is the Turtles game that I spent the most time with.
Yeah,
it's because our friend Zach had a copy of it when we were kids, you know. And I just remember jumping and doing the dive kick. Over and over and over again, you know?
Me, I was spent, like, so you do the special by pressing A and B at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was just me doing that over and over again.
Yeah.
Over and over again. Because you just kill all the foot shoulders in one hit doing that.
Yeah, but it takes health, doesn't it?
No. Nope.
No?
Mm-mm.
Huh.
So you just do that over
and
over
again. I don't know. It's been a long time. Yeah. I know the only way that we beat that game was thanks to Game Genie.
Sure.
I do know that.
I remember I had a friend, like, I played the game at his house, and I had a friend who... did the level select cheat, and like I remember I got home and I wanted to do that same cheat, and like I for the life of me I could not remember how to do it. Like I was trying to do it, and like keep in mind I didn't have the internet back then, and it's not like I could just text him and like ask him. So I was just like, so I was like, I guess I'm just not gonna do it. And I never beat that version of the game. I do remember that game had like different levels from the actual arcade version of the game. Like it had that like
the snow level.
Yeah, the snow level, and then you had that other level where, like, there's, like, samurai and stuff. And just, like, all this other shit. But, like, I remember you and I actually, at some point, like, you bought the, like, actual arcade version on 360. I remember we played through that.
Oh, yeah.
And man, Shredder is a son of a bitch.
What a horrible... I mean, you know, when Ubisoft had that license,
yeah,
they did some lazy things with that IP.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that port of that game, where it's, like, legit the old arcade ROM, but with, like, fucking the... Well, when did that movie come out? The CG one.
God.
It's, like, that art. Yeah. PNGs of that art slapped on top of it, you know? God, man.
Yeah.
I think now, though, now is the time, Ryan. Mm-hmm. You know? Warner Brothers, they got access to the Turtles, you know? They have it if they want it.
Yeah.
And they also got Rocksteady, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, now... And fucking with Last Ronin blowing up as big as it did. Like, now is the time to do a fucking M-rated open-world Turtles game.
And, like, I feel like if you, like, and that's the thing, too. I think that, like, with how well-received Shredder's Revenge has been.
Yeah.
And how, like, and considering, like, the roots of Turtles, like, I feel like if you're not doing, like, if not that... something like maybe like similar to that, you know, like,
yeah,
dude, like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, if you have, you have the means, like, ever since I played that first Arkham game. No, you know what, actually it was after I played Arkham City. I was like, man, I really want a Turtles game from Rocksteady.
I was like, Last Ronin was huge.
Yeah.
For a comic book, Last Ronin was fucking huge.
Yeah.
Right? And they've confirmed that they're going to continue on with that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it alleviates the problem of having a Turtles game like that, in that, like, you don't have to worry about having all the Turtles.
Yeah.
You just have one
Turtle. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So I guess, like, I don't know. I feel like I can't imagine a world where that game comes out and people don't buy it. Like, I can't, yeah, you know?
People love all that edgy shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all these fucking people that love the Joker and Deadpool and all that, they'll buy that shit day one, you know?
Yeah. that's true.
Well, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I can see the kind of person who would wear a Deadpool logo baseball cap. Yeah,
right. They're there for that game, you know? And I'm there for it too. I'm right there in line with them. You know?
Sure, I mean that's something that we can agree on.
Yeah.
You know, but like, like anytime you take, okay, so I know that like Turtles, I recognize that Turtles didn't start out as something for kids. It just became that over time. But like, you know, like how people, like, if you take something that is like classically known as being for kids, and then they make,
which Turtles is, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, Turtles might have started out grittier, but, like, it very quickly became for kids, and that is the version that people know.
Yeah.
All these fucking people that are our age that are like, oh, yeah, I was reading the comic. No, you weren't. You weren't. You know?
I mean, you could say that you were, but you weren't. Like,
yeah.
Like my earliest memory of Turtles is, like, after that stuff, right? My earliest memory, yeah, of Turtles is after it became, because, like, I remember Turtles, like, watching the show when I was, like, 5 years old.
Yes.
So, like, I'm not old enough to have read those comics, like, back, yeah, when they were, like, new, right? So, like, but what I was going to say was, like, you know, people love when you take something that is classically known as being for kids and, mm-hmm, make it M-rated. Like, people love,
sure,
that, you know?
Sure.
Like, and I think that, like, well, at the same time, I do think that, like, if an M-rated Mario game came out, like, people would kind of have a problem with that. But, like, you know...
But it would sell.
It would, you know. And I think it would sell, like, based on, like, it was like, I got to see what this fucking M-rated Mario game is. But, yeah, like, you know.
No, but I see what you mean, though, right? Like we talked about fucking Stray Dogs, right?
Yeah.
Which is clearly influenced by All Dogs Go to Heaven, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a pretty hard M rating, right? Like, things like that. Fucking Them's Fighting Herds, you know? Conker's Bad Fur Day. Well, like, yeah, they might not be pre-existing IP, although Conker was.
Yeah.
It's still that same idea. Here's, yeah, something that is typically more aimed towards children, more innocent.
Yeah.
Let's get a little more adult with it.
And I think that because there's, yeah, a curiosity that comes with, you know, seeing like what the quote unquote darker side of this world is, right? Like, I think,
right.
I think that's why, and like, and I think that's why there was kind of like, not to speak to the quality of the game, because I can't, because I had never played it, but I think that's why, you know, something like Alice became like something that people talked about, because like a lot of us grew up like seeing that Alice in Wonderland movie, which was like very kid friendly,
right?
And, like, and I get the source material, and there's like all this other shit going on with that, but like most of us know Alice in Wonderland from that movie,
the Disney movie,
yeah. And so like you see something like Alice or Alice Madness Returns, it's like, oh, this is dark and gritty and gross.
Chef's kiss.
So like, so I think that there is a curiosity that comes with that sort of thing, and I think that's probably why also. And, like, this isn't the same thing, right? Because, like, I know that, like, Wolverine has, like, a lot of, like, very adult stories. But I think that, like, the presentation of Wolverine in, like, most media has been something that people will, like, let their kids watch. Like, the X-Men cartoon show or even
right.
like, movies is because, like, they're not nearly as violent as Wolverine has been known to be. So, like, the excitement over, like, oh, shit, they're making an M-rated Wolverine game. Like, there's, like, a lot of excitement there because we haven't seen... like something really violent with that character in it. So,
no, you're right.
So I definitely think that like Last Ronin could like be like, I think that Last Ronin could only be good. I think that it'll be the most interesting to me if they're like, okay, well, this is a very like mature story
right.
about these characters. I think that's probably definitely the way to go with something like that. Also,
plus you get Force Ghost Turtles, you know. So.
Yeah, that's true. Also, like, bring back RoboCop in video games, please.
Oh yeah, dude.
Like, bring back RoboCop in video games, please.
Although I'm worried, man. The Night Dive Blade Runner apparently is pretty bad. I'm like, they've never let me down.
That re-release of that old computer game.
Yeah, but apparently the Blade Runner that they put out is not doing so great, not looking so great.
Let me tell you something. So,
and people love that game, you know?
Kaylee and I first started dating. That was when she told me about that game. She told me about, like,
yeah.
like there's this Blade Runner game that I used to play on computer.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was really interesting that game, like, of all the old games that she remembers from her childhood, like, probably more well-known games of all the games. Like, that was the one that's coming back.
Yeah.
And so she's been playing. She bought it almost immediately because of her memory with that game, and she's.
I've never played it. I'm not. I don't mean to speak ill of it. I've just heard it's not great.
We'll check this out. So she plays it, and like she's immediately like she's playing it, and she's like, man, it's really cool to see how much I remember from this game, and like over time I've kind of watched her enthusiasm for the game like slowly like
dwindle
because like she's like, man, this is actually is not good. Like,
and it's such a shame because they've for so long with so many games have done such a great job, you know.
Yeah, so
Turok 1 and 2, Shadow Man, fucking like, I mean
the way that they
Exhumed, like so many games.
So the way that they made Turok's 1 and 2 both look and run better was just so, it was so cool because like people don't remember, a lot of people don't remember that like Turok 2 especially, that game was kind of like a framey framey mess.
It was a mess.
You know, it came out like at a time where like they're kind of pushing that hardware to the limits in the same way that like Perfect Dark was doing, and like so like, you know, so getting those games back to the point where like, man, this is the way that like nostalgia has painted this game to me is like really cool. But like and I get that there's like only so much you can do with like, and like there's only so much you can do without like rebuilding these assets, right? But like,
well, and without making it look too different, you know what I mean?
But like
man, what they did with Power Slave was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, It makes me worry. It makes me worry for their System Shock. Because their System Shock is a remake.
Yeah.
It's not a remaster. It's a remake, you know? And I played the original alpha for it, dude, like 3 or 4 years ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That they, I think they scrapped that shit and restarted,
yeah.
you know? And it makes me worry for that game. I hope that's good, but
Yeah, well, I mean, because I don't have any memory of the original Blade Runner game or the original version of that game,
yeah, neither do I.
but like Haley seems to have a memory of it, and it's just like,
People like that game,
yeah.
that PC Blade Runner game, yeah.
So, and I don't know if this was present in the original version of the game or not, but like, there's a part where, I should say specifically, I don't remember if this bug is present in the original game or not, but like, there's a part where. Like, and she, because you know, Kay, if you know Kaylee, then you know that like she has to get every trophy in every game that she plays. She just has to do it. And so there's a trophy for this part where you're doing like some kind of like shooting range. And like, there are times where like the gun is supposed to fire and it's not firing, or it will fire at the wrong time and she'll hit the wrong
Yeah.
target and stuff like that. And so there's things like that that are like, I think on top of like everything else. Is like kind of marring her experience with it,
Yeah.
and you know it sucks because like I could imagine like if like a re-release of some old game that I remember that like none of my friends ever played came out, and I'd be really excited about it too. If like if Cyber Mage: The Dark Light Awakening came out, like nobody knows what that fucking game is, but if that game came out again, I'd be fucking psyched because that's a game I remember from my childhood. But like if it came out in the state that like. This Blade Runner game is in.
Yeah, such a shame.
Yeah, it would be a really big bummer, so.
I'm more sad that like I like that studio so much and the work that they've done so much. I'm more sad that like it was them who put out the game than I am that the game was put out poorly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like I think that a lot of people have feelings about that about different studios, right? Like for example, like you know, a lot of people were really psyched when like it was not so like, oh man, Platinum's coming out with a new game. Can't wait for this. What the fuck is that game called? Whatever their new game that they did for Square is, that
Babylon's Fall.
Babylon's Fall. That's right. And like, it's just like, man, this really sucks that that Platinum put out this stinker of a game. And let me tell you something, Tom. That game is a stinker.
Yeah, I think people don't understand the way that Platinum and Clover worked, though, you
Yeah.
know? Like, Platinum is very much the studio that, like, okay, we have a game we want to do. What games do we have to do to fund that game, you
Yeah.
know? They do games to pay the bills. That's what Turtles was. That's what Korra was,
Yeah.
and Power or not Power Rangers, Transformers, you know.
Yeah.
Shit, even Star Fox Zero, you know.
Yeah, and I get
But
that, but like at the same time, it's still a bummer when you pay money for a game and it's not good.
oh, absolutely.
You know, and
Absolutely.
so I mean, I hope that like the experience that she's having with Blade Runner turns around, and I hope that like some old ass game that I remember gets like gets done up and re-released. Like I'm actually interested in like checking out that Shadow Man that they did,
Yeah, it's really good. They did a great job with Shadow Man.
because like I mean my memory of Shadow Man is from like back on PS1, right? And like
Yes.
there are those games where like you played when you were younger and like maybe you didn't kind of you didn't really because you didn't really grasp the mechanics as well as you probably could as an adult.
Yeah.
And I think that like there's like a lot of that in games like Shadow Man where like I
Yes.
was like I don't understand like really how this is supposed to work, so I'm not gonna really make any progress in this game. And so like I would like to go back and play Shadow Man like as an adult with a I guess presumably better brain now and like try to play through that game again because like as like conceptually I find Shadow Man very interesting and I'd like to actually play through it and you know but
Yeah.
I because the last my last memory of Shadow Man is the terrible game Shadow Man Second Coming for the PS2, which is you know it's whatever. But yeah, man, these this whole resurgence of kind of reviving, or I guess reviving might be the wrong word, but like kind of just like
Spiritual successor.
spiritual successors to games of like that are like 30 years old now, you know. It's really it's
Yeah.
it when it when it when it comes together like the way that Shredder's Revenge did, it makes me really excited to see like what other games, like what other franchises are gonna get that treatment. And like there's some fucking there's some like Atlus is putting out like this some RPG they put I don't know what the I can't remember the name of it, but like there's some Atlas RPG that like is just that just came out. That is a sequel to a game that came out in 97 that I hadn't heard about until like now. But like, it seems like that, right? Like we're like they're like that game came out like 27 years ago or something like that. And
dude,
like now I'm just like, well, now I want to play it because it looks badass.
Have you played Agent 64?
No.
It's so good, dude. It's on Steam Early Access. I can't wait for like the whole game to drop. It is a successor to GoldenEye. And it plays like that. And it's so good, man. Yeah, it's so good.
Agent 64 Spies Never
Die. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to like all the things that people are doing, and I'm hoping that in this way like people will be inspired to like, you know, take what people are doing with these projects and like go off and like creating like other like really great projects that are either like heavily inspired by these older games or are direct follow ups to these games, right? Like it's really excited to see. And now that you said it and put it in my brain, I really want my fucking Street Sharks game. I really want my Street Sharks game now, but we'll see how that happens. But, you know.
Well, I think that's going to do it then, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else to add?
Yeah. Someone make a good Double Dragon, please.
You know, there's people that swear by Neon. I just didn't care for it.
I don't get it. I do not get it. Like, I think that, like, you and I first played Neon when it came out, and I think that my initial impression of the game was like, well, this is cool. This is a new Double Dragon, and it's, you know, it's polygonal, and I'm not used to that. So this is novel. But then, like, after an hour, I was like, I don't like this.
So, I think we're the ones that are wrong. Are we? Everyone else loves it, but whatever.
I don't get it.
Anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Maybe Sunil will be back, maybe not. And have a good week.
Bye, guys. Goodbye.